Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
This is week 3 of Family Month here. We are taking the entire month of September to invest in our home life. And we know that home life means very different things to all of us, whether you're retired, you have kids, you're single, you're married, whatever it looks like, we all have a home. And God died so that he could make his home in us, and he's preparing a home for us. So home matters. Amen? I love this quote. We're saying it every week. Charles Spurgeon, "When the home is ruled according to God's word, angels might be asked to stay a night with us, and they would not find themselves out of their element." Just keep saying that. Next Sunday, we're going to be wrapping this series up, and Pastor Brian will be co-preaching with me. Maybe Phoebe as well. I don't know how we're going to handle that. And next Sunday's message is called "He Said, She Said, God Said." We're going to look at men and women and communication. I'm excited because Pastor Brian's going to share part of his testimony and like our testimony together getting married, which we've never shared before. So you can come, you can pray for us this week as we prepare, and then you can come cheer us on as we try to articulate how in the world we ended up together with Jesus, all right? So let's just review here before we get into the word. The first Sunday of this month, we asked, is your home sacred or secular? And this is so important because how we view our homes define how we treat them. Sacred means connected with God and or dedicated for a religious purpose. And secular is denoting attitudes or activities or other things that have no religious or spiritual basis. And so the first Sunday of the month, we all committed to pray, stay, and fight for our homes. And we gave out these. Who has been reminded to pray, stay, and fight for your home by wearing this? It's been good. All right, the second Sunday, we asked, what are the agains of your home? What's on repeat? What are the habits of your home? You will be known by them. They're what make up your legacy. We were invited to surrender our busyness, to surrender the idea of trying to control our lives and force them into balance, and instead surrender to God. And we talked about relational bids, which are moments of connection with God or the person in front of you. And that was this week. Did anybody remember to pause for the person in front of you more than usual this week? All right, I love it. Couple teenagers, let's go. Us adults, come on. Got to get inspired to do the same. I know my week, I was definitely inspired and had to stop for the one a couple times. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what I preached about. We got to stop for the one. I'm going to pause in this moment and be present with God and be present with the person in front of me. So our key verse this morning is Romans 8. It says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Can we just say children? Just like Pastor Brian said, we are children of God. I love this other scripture in 1 John. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called of God." Can we just pause in that reality? If you've been in church for many years, you're like, oh, I am a child of God. But can we just realize the incredible, amazing gift that it is to be a child of God? Part of being a child of God is the gift of being able to hear God. So like Mary said, she was like, hey, just pause and listen, what's the spiritual gift you're giving? Maybe you've never stopped to hear from God and you're like, how do I hear from God? Well, you can learn how to hear from him. Start in the Bible. Look at the spiritual gifts and just receive from him there. But part of being a child of God is listening to him, following his voice, pausing, and being present with him. It says in Psalm 68 that God places the lonely in families and he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. Before we get into just a brief encouragement here this morning because of the dedications, I want to encourage you that if you have felt discouraged by Family Month, maybe the word family doesn't mean anything positive, I want to invite you to encounter God as your Father and to receive him this morning in a new way, that you would be called a child of God. And if you get nothing else out of this entire month, that you'd be able to walk out of here and say, I'm in the family of God, my home can thrive, and I am a child of God. Amen? So today's message is called The Third Wheel. And this is a part one. Next week will be part two of The Third Wheel. And you're going to find out what the third wheel to our marriage was next week. All right? But today is called Third Wheel Culture. So I'm just going to give you a couple definitions here. Third wheel means to be in a situation where you are not wanted or you are not needed. Who has ever been a third wheel to a romantic relationship? Not fun, right? Especially if they're not actually dating, right? If you're younger, you can remember this maybe a little bit more recent, and you're like, they're basically dating, but they haven't told anyone, and now I have to be with them for this event, right? Anybody? Okay, maybe that's just my childhood, right? Third wheel, not fun. The word culture means the customs, arts, social institutions, and achievements of a particular nation, people, or other social group. So we're putting together the word third wheel and culture, and we're defining it as there are unwanted and not needed customs in the culture of your home. All right? What are the not wanted and not needed customs in your home this morning and today? We all have odd customs. One of my customs is, poor Brian inherited this with me, is you put up crepe paper the night before your birthday and you leave it up until the next family member's birthday. That's a custom in our house. We currently have crepe paper up from when we brought Phoebe home 4 months ago. Just a fact. If you come over, you're going to see crepe paper hanging. It's a weird custom, right? Think about a weird custom you have. Maybe it has to do with how you cook something or how you do the dishes or whatever it is, right? What are the weird customs that we all have? And when you get married, if you're married, those customs clash, right? And that's what we call marriage counseling about a year in, right? Right? Lots of fun there. That'll be next week, right? As I said last week, come next week, whether you're married or not. This is not going to be a marriage talk next week. It's just healthy relationships, all right, with Pastor Brian. One of the reasons we do child dedication at Thrive is because we believe the home is the first influence on someone's life, right? We are all here today not because you had a perfect home growing up, but because God's redemption of an imperfect home. Amen? But as children of God, we have a responsibility and an invitation to build a home life based on Jesus, not based on our pain, past, or failures. How many have some pain, past, and failures, right? If you don't, you do. You just haven't quite realized it yet. But we aren't called to build our home and our home culture off of those, right? As children of God, we have an invitation to build it off of Jesus. We have an invitation to build it off of doing what we see the Father do. One of my favorite things is international travel, and in my 20s, I got to do a lot more of it before I was more pastoring, and in Malawi once, a goat was slaughtered to show hospitality to us as we were there. I did not eat it. I had peanut butter. I was not doing that. Don't tell them, right? I don't know if they're watching this morning. We love you, Pastor Brighton. But anyway, there was a goat slaughtered for hospitality. And then a couple years later, I was in London, or Winchester rather, with Brian doing a worship event, and we got poured tea in these beautiful, like, English tea kitchen. It was amazing, right? And this family was pouring tea for us. How many know that hospitality in Winchester is very different than hospitality in Malawi? If they slaughtered a goat for us in Winchester, I would have a lot more questions, right? So culture matters. And when you come into the family of God, we all come from our own culture. We all come from our family's culture of our past. But when you get born again, you have an invitation and a responsibility to walk in the heaven's culture on earth. That's the prayer on earth as it is in heaven. That's not just one day there's going to be no weeping and there's going to be all the solutions and the answers. I can't wait till heaven. But on earth as it is in heaven means I don't see it in heaven, I'm going to pray. If I don't see it in heaven, I don't want it in my home. Think about that, right? The way that culture is transformed is by changing the culture in us. Thriving homes transform cities requires your home to have a stronger culture than what's around it. Otherwise, cities transform your home. Think about that. Thriving homes transform cities requires your home to have a stronger culture than what's around it. Otherwise, cities transform your home. How many know it's a lot easier and even more socially acceptable for most Christians to condemn the culture around them but never actually do what's required to change the culture within them? Can we be real this morning? You can spend your entire life talking about how negative, about how dysfunctional, about how fill in the blank with your choice word the culture of our world is, but that's not the gospel. John 3:16, for God so talked about the world and pointed fingers, he did nothing about it and blamed the world for its mess. Is that what happened? No. I'm still waiting for Pastor Caleb to tackle me when I misquote the Bible here. Can we read the truth? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God saw the mess of the world and he chose a family to transform it. He saw the dysfunction, the chaos, the evil, and chose to make a home on earth as his solution. Not an army, not a king in the physical sense. He said, no, I'm going to build a home. In fact, let's make a family. That's the solution to all the chaos. Think about that. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That word dwelling means to occupy as a mansion, like you're occupying a mansion. That's pretty cool. Or to pitch a tent, all right? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh and he made his home among us. When we see a mess around us, it's very easy to go to this hopeless place. I've seen in tragic news events on Facebook, there's this post, and then I've seen this multiple times. Somebody's going to comment, this is why I don't have kids. I just saw it this week or last. I don't remember which. But when you get born again, you realize in the face of tragedy, God sent his son to build a home on earth. And we can say, this is why I will have kids. You don't have to have kids to say that, all right? But I don't want that decision to be made because you're hopeless, right? We all have homes, whether or not we have a spouse or kids. And so the question is, how can my home host the presence of God and host the culture of heaven? Are you following me this morning? So we're going to just take a moment here and get rid of some third wheel culture habits of our house. And I'm going to give you three really practical tools in about 5 to 7 minutes, all right? So we're going to fly through these. There are three tools that I learned from one of our church advisors, and I coach pastors across the country once a month, and this is a tool that we talk about, and it's really practical. So you might want to write this down on your phone or just remember, but I've been marinating on it for a couple years because it's a great way to think about culture. Culture is built by the stories you tell. Can we just say stories? 1 week from today, statistically, 10% of us will remember today's talk, maybe even myself included. 50% here might remember it at lunch, all right? One researcher at Stanford found a story is 22 times more memorable than just facts. Think about this. Jesus had 3 years to transform culture, and he chose to become the master storyteller. He could have just rattled facts. He could have shouted. He could have done all these things. And instead, he chose to become the master storyteller because he designed our brains. And he knew that we would remember his truth if he said it in the area of stories, in the way of stories. That's why movies are so popular. That's why movies are so dangerous or so powerful, because you're filling your mind with stories. What are the stories that you are watching and absorbing? Jesus chose to tell over 35 parables that we can find in the Gospels. We talk about them here a lot. I'll name a few. We have the parable of the talents, how to steward our gifts and resources in Luke 19. We have the wandering sheep. How many felt like a wandering sheep this week? Look up the parable, all right? It's about humility and the importance of children, Matthew 18. We have the unmerciful servant. As we've been forgiven, we should forgive. We have the sheep and the goats, saving faith and producing fruit. There are so many parables. You can Google parables of Jesus, and you can just look. In YouVersion, in our Bible app, you can look up parables and do Bible studies off of them. They're amazing. But the story has power to transform your home. Think about, what are the stories that you often repeat in your house? What are the narratives? What are the themes? Think about that. If you are married or you have a child, what are the stories you tell about the other parent to your child? To yourself? To your friend over coffee? What are the stories that you are telling? What are the themes of those stories? If I were to listen in to the stories that you're telling yourself and others, would I get to know Jesus' character more or less? That's the question. Would I get to know Jesus' character more or less by the stories that you tell? And that is how you know if you're building heaven's culture or some other kind of culture. You are building a culture with the words you speak and the stories you repeat. There's studies that if a mom says, I can do hard things, or a dad says, I can do hard things, the kid starts repeating it. Have you ever heard a child, whether it's your own or whatever environment, repeat what you just said, and then you're like, what did I just say? They're listening. But how many know you're a child of God? People are listening around you. What kind of stories are you telling yourself? Do they sound a lot like your past? Do they sound a lot like Jesus? What do they sound like? All right? So check what narratives you are repeating. Number one, culture is built by the stories you tell. Number two, culture is built by the heroes you make. A hero is a person who is admired or idolized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. How many know Father God was Jesus' hero? It says in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing." John 14 says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" How you see Father God will define the culture of your home. Is Father God your hero? If you think he's out to get you, if you think he secretly rejects you, if you think he's going to abandon you, your hero will become fear, isolation. What we give our most attention to becomes our hero. And today is a day that God is inviting us to make him our hero of the home. Does that make sense? Are you following? Instead of making the Joneses? Yes, I was going to say the Jonases, but that's not it. I kept saying that with Brian this week. He's like, it's not the Jonas Brothers, it's the Jonases. I'm like, I'm sorry, the Jonases. But oftentimes, and I'm not just talking to the women here, all right? You'll hear from Brian next week on some of this. But oftentimes we'll make the Joneses, there we go. Maybe it is the Jonases, I don't know, whatever your age, right? But the Joneses, we idolize them, and we're like, well, if my home doesn't look like them, and they become our hero, and then we start to disregard anything that we're doing, it's like, oh, if it's not like them, we start to worship these idolized, we make idols out of people and ideas of what our home should be, and that defines our home culture. Instead of God saying, can I be your hero? Can you only do what you see the Father doing? Are you following? So culture is built by the stories we tell, the heroes you make. Notice if you have kids, I'm speaking a little bit more to kids this morning because of the child dedication. Notice who your children are talking about the most, because they will start to define how your children want to act and what they want to be like and who they want to become. Who your children's heroes are matter. Give them something to look up to. Amen? Culture is built by the things you celebrate. Jesus loved to celebrate. His first miracle was at a wedding. We know that at the end, there's a banquet feast. That's why we like to celebrate in this church. But I want to share the definition of celebrate. There are a couple different definitions, but I want to share this one. It means to honor or praise publicly. And when I thought about the word celebrate, I realized where most dishonored, Jesus stopped for the one and honored. We often find him celebrating people's God-given design without celebrating the sin that they are in. Think about it. Last week in John chapter 5, we did a whole Bible study on the man who had been sick for 38 years, and he stopped and he honored that man, but he didn't honor the sickness. God wants us to celebrate what he's doing in our homes, and he wants to take care of what he's not doing in our homes. Amen? Our homes all celebrate something. We show it by giving the most attention to it. We can celebrate dysfunction or peace. We can celebrate disrespect or honor. We can celebrate rejection or love, passivity or courage, rushing or patience. What are we celebrating in our homes? We had a comedian here a couple years ago, and he opened up the book of Revelation, and he read the last chapter, not the whole thing, but right there at the end. And he said, we can celebrate now because we know the end of the story. Some of us are stuck in the middle in our home life, and we need to be reminded that there is an end and we know what it is, so we can celebrate now. Your home can be marked by a culture of celebration in Jesus. Why don't you stand to your feet? This message wasn't a normal message. It was a little bit more like a 1, 2, 3, here we go, because I wanted it to be memorable for anyone who had their child dedicated. But I also realized that it's so important. We can talk all we want on a Sunday morning, but if the culture of our home doesn't shift, then we're just investing an hour here and there. And God wants to transform our homes so that our cities don't transform our homes, but our homes transform our cities. So again, I know this was really simple this morning and just a little bit shorter, but what are the stories that you are telling? What are the narratives? What are the themes? Who are the heroes of your home? And what are the things that you are celebrating? And they will build the customs that you have and the habits of your home. My last encouragement to you under celebration is to do a nightly gratitude to God this week. One of the easiest ways to shift the culture is to end your day with Jesus. We often talk about starting our day with him, but when you end it, it just is really special with going to bed, and you can meditate on him more. And so one thing I did when growing up was gratitude prayers. So every night we would say, I thank God for, and then fill in the blank. And when I was a teenager and I was angry at my parents, it didn't matter, and I would say it through gritted teeth. It's like, I thank God for this. Or I would like mutter it really quietly. I don't know if he can understand when I'm talking to God. Because no matter what, the culture of our home was a home that told the story of what God did that day more than anything else. Because the stories you tell and what you celebrate matter. And so it was a pillar in our home. It was a non-negotiable. How many need some non-negotiables like that in our home right now? Because it's a lot easier to just listen to what's coming in, to turn the news on, turn whatever it is, and absorb. And pretty soon, the stories we're telling, the heroes we're making, and the things we're celebrating aren't actually revealing the character of Jesus, but they're actually taking us away or taking those around us away from that character. We have a responsibility and a gift to be able to carry the character of Jesus in our homes. Amen. So I'm going to pray us out here. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you that you perfectly reflect Father God. And so, Father, for any of us where the word Father God is more scary than giving peace, God, would you show our hearts who you are? Would we be able to feel a father's love for the first time this morning, even right now? God, that we would build our homes on your love, on the fact that you saw a world in chaos and in mess and evil, and you said, I'm going to build a family there. That's the solution. And we thank you for this family, God, the family of God together in this region. And we thank you that we can release your solutions into the culture around us. We aren't victim. We aren't afraid of the culture, God, but we can actually carry your transforming power into it from our homes to the city streets. So I just bless every home in here to thrive this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.